I think I left off in 1 Samuel 21. Is that right? Okay, well, if nobody answers, then I guess that's where it is. So that's where we'll start.
The answer is 1 Samuel 21. That's where you left
off. Okay, good. I thought so. I mean, I had...
21.
Yeah, 1 Samuel 21. I had it marked in my notes, but sometimes I question myself. Okay. So verse 1, then came David. Well, what happened before this? Saul attempted to get David and so on, and we had all that. And then Jonathan and David make a covenant.
Right.
And then Saul tries to even kill Jonathan. Mm-hmm. So, but Saul wants David dead. He just doesn't want him around. He's afraid that he's going to take over the kingdom on him. So here we go, chapter 21. Then David came David to Nob, to Ahimelech, the priest. And Ahimelech was afraid at meeting of David, and said unto him, why art thou alone, and no man with thee? David said unto Ahimelech the priest, the king hath commanded me a business, and hath said unto me, let no man know anything of the business whereabout I send thee, and what I have commanded thee. And I have appointed my servants to such and such a place. Now therefore, what is under thine hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread in mine hand, or what there is present. And the priest answered David and said, there is no common bread under mine hand, but there is the hallowed bread, if the young men have kept themselves at least from women. So, you know, they had this show, it was called the showbread, right? Mm-hmm. And they would bake it fresh and they would put it in the tabernacle. And it was, you know, before God. And then every so often they would refresh it. They would bake new bread and they would take the old out. So that's what he had in his hand. And David asks him for it because he needs some food. And so the priest said, you know, if you can have it as long as you've been clean, ceremonially clean. And David answered the priest and said unto him, of a truth, women have been kept from us about these 3 days since I came out, and the vessels of the young men are holy, and the bread is in a manner of common, yea, though it were sanctified this day in the vessel. So the priest gave him hallowed bread, for there was no bread there but the showbread that was taken from before the Lord to put hot bread in the day when it was taken away. So, you know, they're exchanging the bread. Now a certain man of the servants of Saul was there that day, detained before the Lord, and his name was Doeg, an Edomite, the chiefest of the herdmen that belonged to Saul. So this guy just happens to be there at that day when David comes in to talk to Ahimelech the priest. And David said unto Ahimelech, and is there not here under thine hand spear or sword? For I have neither brought my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's business required haste. And the priest said, and the reason he didn't have anything is why? Because he had to run for his life. And he didn't have time to get anything. So the priest said, the sword of Goliath, the Philistine, whom thou slewest in the valley of Elah, behold, it is here wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If thou wilt take that, take it. There is no other save that here. And David said, there is none like that. Give it me. And David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul, and went to Achish, the king of Gath. Remember where, David and Goliath, where was Goliath from?
Gath.
Yeah, he was from Gath. It's in Philistia. So that's where he runs to. You wouldn't think you would get a welcome there, would you? And the servants of Achish said unto him, Is not this David king of the land? And did they not sing one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s? And David laid up these words in his heart, and was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath, and he changed his behavior before them, and feigned himself mad in their hands, and scrabbled on the doors of the gate, and let his spittle fall down upon his beard. In other words, he was acting like he was nuts. You know, he had no control over his bodily functions. Then said Achish unto his servants, Lo, you see the man is mad? Wherefore then have ye brought him to me? Have I need of a madman? Of madmen? That ye have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house? So David acted so wacky that the king didn't even want him around, right? He didn't want him near. Pretty wild. So anyway, chapter 22. David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them, and there with him about 400 men. So what did he do? He was a magnet for all the malcontents and the misfits and the people that owed money, and, you know, it was a bunch of ragamuffins. Mm-hmm. It was people that nobody else wanted, or they were running from Saul, or they didn't want to pay their taxes, or they were mad at what was going on. So he has about 400 of these guys with him at this cave. And David went thence to Mizpah of Moab, and he said unto the king of Moab, Let my father and my mother, I pray thee, come forth and be with you, till I know what God will do for me. And he brought them before the king of Moab, and they dwelt with him all the while that David was in the hold. The hold is the fortress. And the prophet Gad said unto David, Now here's a guy, all of a sudden he pops up out of nowhere, and he shows up a few other times, and he is called the prophet to David. And there was a couple of, it was later on Nathan, but here this guy is the prophet Gad. And so if he's a prophet, that makes him what? Man of God, right? And the prophet Gad said unto David, Abide not in the hold, in this fortress. Depart and get thee into the land of Judah. Then David departed and came into the forest of Hereth. Now, that would be, he went to Moab, which is kind of, far away. It's on the border of Israel, but it was out of harm's way. He was away from Saul. And when this prophet tells him to go back to Judah, that's where, kind of near to where Saul is, right? So that's kind of goes against what you would think to do. And when Saul heard that David was discovered and the men that were with him, now Saul abode in Gibeah under a tree in Ramah, having his spear in his hand, and all his servants were standing about him. Then Saul said unto his servants that stood about him, Hear now, ye Benjamites. Will the son of Jesse give every one of you fields and vineyards and make you all captains of thousands and captains of hundreds? That all of you have conspired against me, and there is none that showeth me that my son hath made a league with his son, with the son of Jesse? And there is none of you that is sorry for me, or showeth unto me that my son hath stirred up my servant against me, to lie in wait as at this day. So, you know, kind of what Saul is saying is not really true, but he's, you know, when something gets under your skin and you just keep letting it dwell and you keep making it bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and that's what Saul is doing. Then answered Doeg. Remember Doeg? Doeg the Edomite. The Edomites were descendants of Esau. So they were kind of cousins of the Israelites. Remember Esau and Jacob, right? They were brothers. So the Edomites came from Esau. Then answered Doeg the Edomite, which was set over the servants of Saul, and said, I saw the son of Jesse coming to Nob to Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub. And he inquired of the Lord for him and gave him victuals or victuals and gave him the sword of Goliath, the Philistine. Then the king sent to call Ahimelech, the priest, the son of Ahitub, and all his father's house, the priests that were in Nob, and they came all of them to the king. And Saul said, Hear now, thou son of Ahitub. And he answered, Here I am, my lord. And Saul said unto him, Why have ye conspired against me, thou and the son of Jesse, in that thou hast given him bread and a sword, and hast inquired of God for him, that he should rise against me to lie in wait as at this day? So was that true? That really wasn't true. He didn't conspire with David for anything. But anyway. Then Ahimelech answered the king and said, And who is so faithful among all thy servants as David, which is the king's son-in-law, and goeth at thy bidding, and is honorable in thine house? Wow, what a great answer. You know, he says, what's the deal here? He said, I don't know what's going on, but I know that David is the most faithful of all your servants, and besides that, he's your son-in-law. Did I then begin to inquire of God for him? Be it far from me, let not the king impute anything unto his servant, nor to all the house of my father, for thy servant knew nothing of all this, less or more. I didn't know anything about what you're talking about. And the king said, Thou shalt surely die, Ahimelech, thou and all thy father's house. Wow, what a reaction. Saul is,
so bitter.
He's bitter and he's angry and he's just getting carried away with everything. Getting carried away with his emotions and just, can't control himself. And the king said unto the footmen that stood about him, Turn and stay the priests of the Lord, because their hand also is with David, and because they knew when he fled, and did not show it to me. But the servants of the king would not put forth their hand to fall upon the priests of the Lord. These guys were, they didn't want to touch the priests, because why? They serve God, and they didn't want to suffer the consequences. And the king said to Doeg, Turn thou and fall upon the priests. And Doeg the Edomite turned, and he fell upon the priests, and slew on that day 85 persons that did wear the linen ephod. 85 persons is 85 persons, right? A score is 20. 77 years ago? Okay. And Nob, the city of the priests, smote he, meaning Doeg, he went to Nob and smote the city with the edge of the sword, both men and women, children, and sucklings, and oxen, and asses, and sheep, with the edge of the sword. So he just went and, he killed the priests that came with Ahimelech, and then he went to the place where they all lived, and he killed everybody, their families, their animals, everything, just wiped them out. And one of the sons of Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub, named Abiathar, escaped and fled after David. And Abiathar showed David that Saul had slain the Lord's priests. And David said unto Abiathar, I knew it that day when Doeg the Edomite was there that he would surely tell Saul, I have occasioned the death of all the persons of thy father's house. Wow. So David took, he took the blame. He was really upset. He was sad that he did that. So now at this point, Saul is willing to kill any and all who are associated with David, even priests, the priests of the Lord. And Doeg was a willing accomplice and killer for Saul. And, you know, it doesn't seem that he was an Israelite. He was an Edomite, which again were cousins. In the Septuagint, it calls him a Syrian. Now, today we know Syria as a country, but there was a time where the whole Middle Eastern region was known. At one point in time, it was called Palestine, and that wasn't just Israel, it was all those countries. And then at another time, it was called Syria, and all those countries were, you know, Syria as a region, okay? So anyway, so David is upset, and he said, I knew it that day. And then he says in verse 23, abide thou with me, fear not, for he that seeketh my life seeketh thy life, but with me thou shalt be in safeguard. So David felt very bad for this guy because his father and his family got slaughtered. And he said, you know, it's my fault. I should have realized when I was there that this guy Doeg would tell. And so he said, you know, I feel responsible for you, so you stay here and you'll be safe. What a thing. Terrible. So he was responsible, or he felt responsible, and he pledged himself to protect Abiathar, which in those days, when you pledged to protect somebody, it really meant something, right? It wasn't just, it just wasn't talk, but they would really give their life to protect that person. Chapter 23, then, verse 1, they told David, saying, behold, the Philistines fight against Keilah, and they robbed the threshing floors. Threshing floors are where they, you know, take the wheat and, you know, remove the chaff and then grind it into flour. So he said the Philistines came and attacked Keilah and they were robbing all the grain. Therefore David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go and smite these Philistines? And the Lord said unto David, go and smite the Philistines and save Keilah. So what David is, his first reaction to all this is he asks God before he reacts or acts, right? He doesn't just fly off the handle and go, I'm going to go kill all these people. He says, okay, I better ask God. So he does. Verse 3. And David's men said unto him, behold, we be afraid here in Judah. How much more than if we come to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines? So the men that were with him, and he, you know, it wasn't a lot, it was 400 at this point. And they're afraid to go against the Philistines. So then verse 4, David inquires of the Lord yet again. And the Lord answered him and said, arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into thine hand. Wow. So he gets a good answer. So David and his men went to Keilah and fought with the Philistines and brought away their cattle and smote them with great slaughter. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. And it came to pass when Abiathar, the son of Ahimelech, fled to David to Keilah that he came down with the ephod in his hand. And it was told Saul that David was come to Keilah. And Saul said, God hath delivered him into mine hand, for he is shut in by entering into a town that hath gates and bars. Well, Saul says this, but you have to wonder what God he's talking about, right? Because he hasn't asked God for anything, and the last time he did ask, God didn't give him an answer. He said, it said that God wasn't answering his prayers anymore because he had, you know, God had told him that he had, you know, sinned and had disobeyed and all that stuff. So, verse 8, and Saul called all the people together to war to go down to Keilah to besiege David and his men. And David knew that Saul secretly practiced mischief against him. And he said to Abiathar, priest, bring hither the ephod. Then said David, O Lord God of Israel, thy servant hath certainly heard that Saul seeketh to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. Will the men of Keilah deliver me out of the hand? Will Saul come down as thy servant hath heard? O Lord God of Israel, I beseech thee, tell thy servant. And the Lord said, he will come down. So he prays to God. Again, he asks him what's going on, and God tells him he's going to come. Then said David, will the men of Keilah deliver me and my men into the hand of Saul? And the Lord said, they will deliver thee up. Wow. He just saved them from the Philistines. He you know, helped them. And how quick they forgot. They forgot really fast. Maybe. So, you know, he spared the city of the Philistines, and then they turn on him. Verse 13. Then David and his men, which were about 600, arose and departed out of Keilah, and went whithersoever they would go. And it was told Saul that David was escaped from Keilah, and he forbare to go forth. Before it said he had 400 men, here it says now he has 600 men. So I guess the band of merry men are growing. So there's more malcontents and misfits and people that don't want to support Saul. And so he's growing now and it's 600. Although in the Septuagint it says 400. But later on it says he has 600 with him again. So I kind of think 600 was probably the right answer. Verse 14, and David abode in the wilderness in the strongholds and remained in a mountain in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him every day, but God delivered him not into his hand. And David saw that Saul was come out to seek his life, and David was in the wilderness of Ziph in a wood. You know, hiding out, trying to avoid Saul at every turn, because he's really looking for him now. And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the wood and strengthened his hand in God. So Saul couldn't find David, but Jonathan could. You know, and Jonathan was just a sweet guy, and he and David loved each other. And so when David saw that he was looking for him, I guess he made sure that he found him. And he said unto him, Jonathan said unto David, fear not, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find thee, and thou shalt be king over Israel, and I shall be next unto thee, and that also Saul my father knoweth. Wow, what a great thing to find out. You know, he says, you're going to be king. And I'm going to be there with you because I've been faithful to you and I'm your friend and I'm going to just be there for you. And he says, and my father knows that. And they two made a covenant before the Lord, and David abode in the wood and Jonathan went to his house. So they made another covenant. Again, they reaffirmed their commitment to each other. Then came up the Ziphites to Saul, to Gibeah, saying, doth not David hide himself with us in strongholds in the wood, in the hill of Hakala, which is on the south of Jeshimon.
Jeshimon.
Thank you, Janet. Jeshimon. Now therefore, O king, come down according to all the desire of thy soul to come down, and our part shall be to deliver him into the king's hand. So the Ziphs. It wasn't bad enough. The people of Keilah, who he helped, were going to deliver him and trade, you know, turn on him. Now the Ziphs. Sounds like a Star Wars story. The Ziphs are going to turn on him. The Ziphites. Ziphites. How would you like to be known as a Ziphite? Now therefore, O king, come down. Okay, verse 21. And Saul said, blessed be ye of the Lord, for ye have compassion on me. Again, he's using the name of God, but
he's
assuming that God is blessing him. I don't think he really knows what's going on. Go, I pray you, prepare yet and know and see his place where his haunt is and who has seen him there. For it is told me that he dealeth very subtly. See therefore and take knowledge of all the lurking places where he hideth himself, and come ye again to me with certainty, and I will go with you, and it shall come to pass, if it be in the land, that I will search him out throughout all the thousands of Judah. You know, I think about this, and, you know, David went through a lot, didn't he? God told him he was going to be king. He anointed him. But there's a king already, and that king turns on him and wants to kill him, and he's a fugitive. And he's a fugitive for a good while.
How long?
Not really, no.
Was it years?
Yeah, it was a long time. But anyway, I think about how Jesus Christ and all the stuff he went through, and how the Pharisees and the Sadducees were always conspiring against him. And he had to have read this about David, and it had to be encouraging to him that he knew, you know, that God would take care of him no matter what the situation, if he just listened to God and did what he said. So, verse 23, see therefore and take knowledge of all the lurking places where he hideth himself, and come ye again to me with a certainty, and I will go with you, and it shall come to pass, if it be in the land, that I will search him out throughout all the thousands of Judah. And they arose and went to Ziph before Saul. But David and his men were in the wilderness of Maon, in the plain on the south of Jeshimon.
Jeshimon.
Saul also and his men went to seek him. And they told David, wherefore he came down into a rock and abode in the wilderness of Maon. And when Saul heard that he was that he pursued after David in the wilderness of Maon. And Saul went on this side of the mountain, and David and his men on that side of the mountain. And David made haste to get away for fear of Saul. For Saul and his men compassed David and his men round about to take them. So they were trying to surround him, right? He was on one side of the mountain, but Saul knew where he was, or thought he knew where he was, and they were trying to compass about. That means, you know, they're trying to surround him. But there came a messenger unto Saul, just when they, you know, get into the place where they may have him trapped. There came a messenger unto Saul, saying, haste thee and come, for the Philistines have invaded the land. What a coincidence. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, there is an invasion. And Saul, as much as he wants to get David, he has to go back and defend the country. Because what good is it being a king if you don't have a country? So, Wherefore Saul returned from pursuing after David and went against the Philistines. Therefore they called the place Selahamalalabakath. By gosh. Thank you. You're really good with these names, aren't you?
She's making it up
as she can. Yeah, you have trouble with English, but you're really good with these names. Anyway, thanks, Janet. You're a sweetheart. Ziph was a small town in the southeast part of Judah, and Mahon was another town in Judah, and these people were descendants of Caleb. Remember Caleb? Caleb and Joshua. So Caleb's ancestors come into these things a couple of times. Not always in a good way. Let's see. So, that word there in 28, Selahamalalakath. Yeah, that too. It means the rock of parting.
The rock of what?
Parting.
Parting.
Yeah. And David went up from thence and dwelt in strongholds at En Gedi.
Very good.
Pardon me?
Very good.
Thank you. So, this just doesn't stop. I mean, David is constantly on the move, constantly being threatened, constantly
at war
with people, and people are constantly trying to kill him. And they're turning on him and trying to give him away. So, chapter 24. And it came to pass, when Saul was returned from following the Philistines, that it was told him, saying, Behold, David is in the wilderness of En Gedi. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all of Israel and went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats. So this place was, in the wilderness, and it's a place where wild goats climb on the rocks. And he came to the sheepcotes by the way, where there was a cave, and Saul went in to cover his feet, and David and his men remained in the sides of the cave. So David and his men were in this cave, and Saul goes in to take a rest. Okay? And the men of David said unto him, Behold, the day of which the Lord said unto thee, Behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thine hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee. Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privily. So he was in the cave, it's dark, and David crawled up next to Saul and cut off a bottom piece of his robe. And he did it quietly. And it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him because he had cut off Saul's skirt. He felt bad. He felt bad about damaging his robe. He felt guilty. Verse 6, And he said unto his men, The Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth mine hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. So God forbid him. He listened to God. He could have very easily killed him. He probably wanted to. I don't know. But he didn't. And he said, God forbid me that I should do this. He's the Lord's anointed. And he says it twice. Now, this is going to come up several times, and I'm thinking about next week we're going to take a little side trip and look at what it means to be the Lord's anointed. There's numbers of people that are called the Lord's anointed. But to anoint something, they had a special oil. And that oil had a certain mixture, and it was a capital offense. You know what a capital offense is? You would die if you did it. To make this oil on your own and use it without the proper authority. Only the priests were supposed to make this oil, and they had control of it. So the word anointing is an interesting word, but there's several words that are translated anointing, and one of them means to smear, and another one means to rub. But it means more than that, because it's an indication that something is being made special for special use for God for service. So all the furniture in the tabernacle was anointed with oil. And that meant that it was made holy for God's use and service. At times, they would anoint the shields and the weapons to go out to war against their enemies, because it was, you know, a holy war, or they were fighting for Israel and for God's people. Then, of course, there were men that were called anointed of God. And, you know, all the priests were anointed. The prophets many times were anointed. In different circumstances, different situations, you know, it wasn't just, oh, we're going to anoint another prophet. Like, you know, Elijah called Elisha out of the field and anointed him. Mm-hmm. It was no big deal. It just, he did it. Or when Samuel anointed Saul or anointed David, you know, he just did it. They didn't go to the tabernacle. They didn't make announcements. They didn't have a big procession or anything else. So I think we're going to look at that a little bit next week, just to get a better understanding of it. I think it'll be really exciting to see it. So here, it didn't really matter to David that Saul had tried to kill him. Or had conspired against them, or caused David to flee as a fugitive, he would not raise a hand against the Lord's anointed. Right. He would not raise a hand against them, and felt guilty that he cut his robe. How amazing. So David stayed his servants with these words and suffered them not to rise against Saul. But Saul rose up out of the cave and went on his way. You know, his servants were ready to just cut him to pieces. But David wouldn't let him. David also arose afterward and went out of the cave and cried after Saul, saying, "My Lord and King," or "My Lord the King." And when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed himself. And David said to Saul, "Wherefore hearest thou men's words, saying, 'Behold, David seeketh thy hurt'?" He says, "Where do you get this idea that I want to hurt you? Behold, David seeketh thy hurt. Behold, this day thine eyes have seen how that the Lord hath delivered thee today into my hand in the cave. And some bade me kill thee, but mine eye spared thee. And I said, 'I will not put forth mine hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed.' Moreover, my father, see the skirt of thy robe in my hand, for in that I cut off the skirt of thy robe and killed thee not, know thou and see that there is neither evil nor transgression in my hand, and I have not sinned against thee, yet thou huntest my soul to take it." Wow, what a contrast and what a confrontation, you know. The contrast between David's innocence and Saul's evil intent. Because David really was an innocent person here, and he really had a heart for Saul. He loved him, and he just, you know, didn't want him to be hurt. "And the Lord judge between me and thee, and the Lord avenge me of thee, but my hand shall not be upon thee." So he's making a, you know, almost a declaration. He's saying, no matter what you do or try to do to me, I will not touch you or harm you in any way. So, and as saith the proverb of the ancients, wickedness proceedeth from the wicked, but my hand shall not be upon thee. After whom is the king of Israel come out? After whom dost thou pursue? After a dead dog? After a flea? So, David said he would let God be the judge between Saul and him, and that God would be the one to execute the judgment. It's kind of similar. You remember Samuel. Samuel was raised by Eli, and he saw the evil that Eli did, but he never said a bad word about Eli, did he? He never went against Eli. He never raised a hand against him. And when Eli died, he was sad. So, so that's how it is, you know. he said, the Lord will be the judge between me and thee, and see and plead my cause and deliver me out of thine hand. He said, you know, he said, it's up to God. He's the one that's going to judge this, not you. And it came to pass, as David made an end of speaking these words unto Saul, that Saul said, is this thy voice, my son David? And Saul lifted up his voice and wept. You know, it really touched Saul. You know, it's such an interesting thing to see this guy and where he started out and how bad off he got. And then every once in a while, something would touch his heart. But he could never stay there very long. You know, he had this jealousy and this hate inside him that he just couldn't deal with. It's amazing. And he said to David, thou art more righteous than I, for thou hast rewarded me good, whereas I have rewarded thee evil. And boy, that was true, wasn't it? You know, he has this moment of sanity. he sees the truth, and he has this moment of sanity. And thou hast showed this day how that thou hast dealt well with me, for as much as when the Lord had delivered me up into thine hand, thou killest me not. For if a man find his enemy, will he let him go well away? Wherefore the Lord reward thee good for that thou hast done unto me this day. And now behold, I know well that thou shalt surely be king, and that the kingdom of Israel shall be established in thine hand. So he knew the score. He knew what was going on. He knew that David was going to be the king, that it was he was God's choice to replace him, but he couldn't give it up. Because didn't Samuel tell him right in the beginning when he screwed up? He said, God has taken the kingdom from your hands. He said, you could have been king and your throne would have lasted. And he said, but now God wants a man after his own heart. And then he went and found David. But Saul was not willing to give it up. He wasn't willing to. And so finally here Saul in his moment of sanity says, you know, you will end up being king. I know that's true. Swear now, therefore, unto me by the Lord that thou wilt not cut off my seed after me, and that thou wilt not destroy my name out of my father's house. He says, you know, make a covenant with me. Swear to me that you will not wipe out my family and wipe out my name out of Israel forever. And David sware unto Saul, and Saul went home, but David and his men got them out up into the hold, into a, you know, a fortress, a place that they could be safe. So we're going to stop there. Chapter 24 is a tremendous reckoning of the situation. We see David's integrity, his respect in his heart. And we see by Saul's own admission, the innocence of David and his own evil intent. And he convicts himself. You know, if sometimes when you give somebody that's guilty enough rope, they'll hang themselves, right? And that's exactly what Saul did. Chapter 25 is a long chapter, and so I don't think we should start here because we just have to stop in the middle. So that's where we'll leave off right there. Okay? So, almost 50 minutes. All right, Father God, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for blessing us. We thank you for the great learning about David and his life and how he just kept his focus on you, God, and kept his integrity. He wouldn't, even when he had opportunities, he wouldn't do the wrong thing to King Saul. He had that much respect for you and your word and for him. And so he knew that you had to take care of the situation and that his blood couldn't be on his hands. We thank you, Father, for a great night tonight. We thank you for loving us and keeping us safe and blessed. And we just thank you for everybody being healthy and strong and that you just keep them in the palms of your hand. And we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.